Good morning to everyone. We welcome all of the folks who are tuned in today to in our listening audience on the radio and or on the internet. We thank you for worshiping with us today. And I want to welcome all those who are here in the congregation today. Thank you for coming, and happy Sabbath to all. Amen. As I begin here today on this message of peace, peace, wonderful peace, I would like to invite you to follow with me from your scriptures. And as we begin today, please bow your head as I pray. Heavenly Father, I pray for your Spirit to be here to guide us through this text of Scripture so that we can actually not only hear your voice, but we can learn how to apply this message to our own personal life. And I pray for your guidance and blessing for each one of us here today. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Turn with me, if you will, in Matthew chapter 6. In Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse number 12, and I'm going to read Matthew chapter 6, from verse 12 through 15. In Matthew 6, beginning at verse 12, it says, "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And if we forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." You see, in this Sermon on the Mount, which is taken from Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, or also commonly known as the Beatitudes, in this Sermon on the Mount, Jesus was teaching the multitude who was gathered there around him and his disciples about forgiveness. They had some really bad misconceptions. And apparently the disciples, even after Jesus was teaching them about forgiveness here at this particular time, they still had these Jewish fables in their mind and this false interpretation that the Jews gave to Amos chapter 1, verse 3. Maybe you'd like to turn with me to that. In Amos chapter 1 at verse number 3. In Amos chapter 1 at verse 3, it reads like this. "Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Damascus, and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they have threshed Gilead with threshing instruments of iron." So the Jews were teaching, the Jewish rabbis were teaching this false interpretation of Amos chapter 1 verse 3, that they only had to forgive seven times, and after that, it's too bad, buddy. You're out. That's the end of it. Well, let's look here in Matthew chapter 18, because I think it has a lesson here for us that would be useful for us as followers of Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 18, you see here in verse 21, where Peter is coming to Jesus, and he said to the Lord, "How oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times?" So you see this influence of this misrepresentation of the scriptures that the rabbis had been teaching was pretty well deeply ingrained in the heart and mind of the ideals of Peter. And he was thinking, well, all I have to do is forgive seven times. My duty is done. But you know, if we only had to forgive seven times and no more, that would be very mechanical. Forgiveness comes from God. And or man is more than just this judicial act that takes place between us and God or us and our fellow man. It is a restoration of peace where there had once been conflict between us and someone else. Forgiveness is even more than that. It includes an effort to restore that erring person into a right relationship. In Matthew chapter 18 at verse 22, Jesus responds to what Peter asked him in verse 21. "Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, until 70 times seven." You see, that's a lot greater than what Peter had in mind and what the Jewish leaders were teaching in their synagogues. Forgiveness is not a matter of mathematics. It is not a legal regulation, but it is an attitude of the heart. The forgiveness is not limited by numbers. It's not the act of forgiveness that counts, but the spirit that prompts it. Ellen White writes this in Christ Object Lessons, page 251. She says, "Nothing can justify an unforgiving spirit." Can I say that again? Nothing can justify an unforgiving spirit. You see, when India was a British colony, Mahatma Gandhi, who led a nonviolent movement of civil disobedience as they struggled for independence, they struggled for their civil rights, they struggled for freedom from British rule. Pretty much like we did here in the United States at one time. During this time, Mahatma Gandhi was imprisoned many times and treated very badly. And listen to what he had to say about this situation that had faced him over and over again. He said, "The weak can never forgive. Forgiveness is the attribute of the strong." So what does that say about those who are unwilling to forgive? That they're too weak? That they can't do that? Forgiveness is an attribute of the strong. Too often it has been thought that forgiveness just releases the offender, the sinner. And that's true, but it also releases those who have been wronged. Years ago, growing up, one of my brothers was so mean to me and my sisters, did so many terrible, mean things to us. And when he had had a heart attack, I drove a lot of miles to go to the hospital where he was at. I went there, and I talked to him about that situation and told him that I forgave him for that. I didn't go to that hospital to release him because he had done so many bad things. I went to that hospital to release me because I had so many bad feelings against him because of what he had done to us. At being so mean to us, he was so much older than us and treated us so badly. You see, that's what God is calling for. Is for us to be released. If a person wrongs you and you don't forgive them from the heart, when you don't forgive them, you're the one who is going to suffer. Now, look with me, if you will, in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 26 through 32. In Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse number 26, we read this. Ephesians 4, verse 26. It says, "Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." You see, it's important for us to forgive because it releases us from that situation. But how do you know if forgiveness is from the heart and it has really taken place in your life? It doesn't mean that you have forgotten the experience that happened to you, but you will have peace in your life over the situation that has taken place. It's not a sin to be angry. As we read here in verse 26, it says, "Be angry and sin not." You see, being angry is not a sin. It's how do we deal with that issue of anger? Does it cause us to retaliate? Do we look for revenge? Do we want to do violence to somebody else? Do we hate them because of what they've said or done to us to offend us or hurt us? Jesus was angry. When they turned his house of prayer into a marketplace, he was righteously angry because of what they had done. But will you have peace in your heart? You see, that's what God wants us to have. He wants us to have peace. How do we deal with this anger? It determines if we are sinning and letting the devil into our life. The experience of not forgiving steals our peace if we do not forgive. If we don't forgive, bitterness sets into your life. Resentment. And it even leads to hatred. This anger is going to come out in many different ways at times when you and I least expect it. In Hebrews chapter 12, if you'll turn with me there, in Hebrews chapter 12, beginning at verse number 14, it says this, "Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man can see the Lord. looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. How are we defiled? Well, in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, it says that we have all sinned and that we have all come short of the glory of God, and Jesus came to give us peace in our hearts. Can you agree with that? Amen. Jesus says, "My peace I leave with you." If we confess Jesus, we'll forgive. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we want Him to forgive us, it is important for us to be people who forgive others. Do you want to stand before God undefiled? Do you want real peace into your heart and life? Well, listen to the scripture reading today from Matthew chapter 18. In Matthew chapter 18, and beginning in verse 23, it tells this story of a man who had received forgiveness from his Lord. He could not pay the debt, and his Lord forgave him for everything, cleared his debt completely. But when someone owed him, he grabbed him by the throat and demanded payment in full. And because he did not act as his Lord had acted with him, it says in verse number 35 or 34 that his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also to you, if you from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. And I can tell you, friends, it is impossibility for you and I to ever pay in full the debt that we owe for the sins that has caused Jesus to be crucified. It is no way that you or I could ever do that. We could not begin to fulfill the debt. Jesus did that for us at the cross of Calvary. Jesus is trying, in his statement here in Matthew 18, Jesus is trying to counteract this tradition and false teaching of the rabbis, and Jesus wanted these disciples and the multitude gathered around him to have real, true, lasting peace in their hearts. Catherine Ponder, who was a prosperity minister with the Unity Church, she says that when you hold resentment towards another, you're bound to that person or condition by an emotional link that is stronger than steel. Forgiveness is the only way to dissolve that link and get free. Can I read that to you again? Because I think this is so important in the process of peace in your life and mine. Resentment towards another. You are bound to that person when you hold on to that situation by an emotional link that is stronger than steel. Forgiveness is the only way to dissolve the link and get free. It's the only way you can have peace. When you don't learn how to deal with your hurt and your anger by forgiving, it becomes a monster that is uncontrollable. It will simply accumulate into rage, into revenge, and even into hatred. You keep pushing that anger under the rug, so to speak, but sooner or later that monster is going to come out and it's going to be uncontrolled. Bishop T.D. Jakes, he says this, "Forgiveness is not for them, but for you. You keep drinking the poison, waiting for them to die." You see, you can't swallow a poison pill hoping that the other person who has injured you is going to die. When you hold on to your bitterness, you sooner or later are going to explode. It can happen in your home. Maybe it happens in your church. Maybe it happens at work. Or maybe it even happens on the road as you're driving. And according to the AAA, 3% of drivers have hit another vehicle on purpose. A new study shows that road rage is becoming the new disturbing norm. The increase in road rage indicates a decrease in the practice of forgiveness. Road rage has surpassed drunk driving as a leading cause of accidents. There is peace that comes from forgiveness. Luke chapter 6, beginning in verse number 31, and that is Luke chapter 6, beginning at verse number 31. So in Luke chapter 6, verse 31 through 38, it says, "And as ye would that men should do to you, do you also to them likewise. For if you love them which love you, what thank have you? For sinners also love those that love them. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have you? For sinners also do even the same. And if you lend to them of whom you hope to receive, what thank have you? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, and hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and you shall be the children of the Highest, for he is the kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that you shall meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Forgiveness is important. Robert Mueller was an assistant secretary general with the United Nations for many years. He says to forgive is the highest, most beautiful form of love, and in return, you will receive untold peace and happiness. In 1 John chapter 4, in verse number 20 and 21, we read here about forgiveness too. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 20 and 21. In 1 John chapter 4, beginning at verse 20, it says, as if a man say, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he that loves not his brother whom he has seen, how could he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loves God loves his brother also. This is a commandment from the Lord, that we should love one another. Jesus came to give us peace through forgiveness of our sins, friends. And if you're wanting forgiveness and peace in your life for all of the bad things that you've done throughout your existence, if you're expecting God to cover you with the shed blood of Jesus Christ and wipe away all your sins and forgive you completely and fully, then, friends, you must be willing to forgive others who have done something to offend you, to damage you, to do something to hurt you. We must be willing to forgive all those who offend us and damage us. Forgiving means that we don't hold them accountable anymore for the wrongs that they have committed against us. It means that we say to them that they're free. Jesus says in John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35, that he wants us to be the kind of loving Christians that he desires for us. Listen to this. In John chapter 13, in verse 34 and 35. John 13, beginning in verse 34, it says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. You see, that's what Jesus wants for us, that you show the world that you're his disciple by loving others enough to forgive them as he has forgiven you. If we expect when we call out to God to forgive us for some mistake, falling short of his glory, if we call out to God to give us a cleansing through the blood of Jesus Christ, then we ought to be willing to extend that same kind of forgiveness to others. That's what Jesus was trying to get across to the disciples. It's not a matter of numbers. It's not mathematical. It has to come from the heart that we want to be able to give forgiveness to others so that we can receive forgiveness too. God is calling for us to be like him. In Psalm chapter 86, verse 5, it says, for thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy to all that call upon thee. So I challenge you today, whether you're in this congregation or you're listening on the radio or the internet, I challenge you to strive to be like your Lord Jesus Christ and forgive others as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you.